Can I sweeten the pot? You know, I got two other guys coming over later on today to look at this vehicle. So if you don't order it, chances are it'll be gone. But if you want me to take your phone number. Now, I had a really interesting thing happen to me when I sold my car. Believe it or not, this guy came over, and the guy liked the car, but he wanted to pay me less for the car. And I told him no. I said, you know, I got other people coming over, probably going to sell it to them. So he said, well, I want to give you a deposit. So I said, well, you know, we haven't even agreed on a price. How can you give me a deposit? He says, no, I want to give you a deposit. He gave me $500 in cash and walked away. No car, no title, $500 in cash. The car, he offered me $1,800 for the car. And the car I was selling for $2,000. So the other people came over, and guess what? They offered me $1,800 for the car. So did he. But he gave me a $500 deposit, which I couldn't understand why anybody would ever do that
and walk away.
But I felt sorry for the guy. I thought, my God, that's, you know, he trusted me, you know, $500 in cash. Now, he was a huge guy, so he probably could have killed me or something, you know. But it was a very odd negotiation tactic, but I sold the guy the car. And he's actually a friend of mine now because I found some stuff I had in my garage for the car, and I called him and I said, hey, I got this stuff in my garage, and if you're in the area, stop by and you can pick it up. I had like some oil filters and, you know, specialized oil for the car, and so I gave him that. And then later I found a tire. I had an extra tire. Long story, the car was sideswiped, and the insurance company, they replaced the tires. Well, I called up the guys that did the work, and I said, what did you do with the tires that were there? And they said, oh, we took them off and threw them away. I said, you did what? He said, oh, yeah. He said, there were some scratches on them. I said, well, you go dig them out of the garbage. I'm coming over and getting them. So I went over there, you know. Some adjuster was, you know, I don't know what his deal was, but he authorized the replacement of the tires on the side of the car. And, you know, their tires were fine. That, you know, there was a little scratch, I think, on the wheels, you know, because of a sideswipe, but it was no big deal, you know, as far as I was. So I got those tires. I had put them in my basement. I forgot about them. And I called that guy back, and I gave him the tires, which they wouldn't do me any good, but he thought they were great. And so, at any rate, that was an interesting little story there. Little digression. make your proposal include alternatives. We talked about the alternatives. Put together packages or kits if you can. In any way, tie things together. Very good to do that. Now, this is an interesting chart that that I've got here. Now, this is comes from information that that I've read over time, and I've added some of my own thinking here as well. But generally, if you look at the universe of of purchasers that are out there, there's some 20% that are price purchasers and another 20% that are technology purchasers. The technology people, they just want the latest. The vast majority of buyers out there are trust purchasers. They want to trust whoever is selling something to them. That's the key. So you got to become trustworthy in their eyes. That's the key. Being trustworthy. Now, fully 85% of all purchasers are concerned with the cost of use. So that's something that is hard to prove, what's the cost of use, depending upon what you're selling. You know, some different services, like the service that I sell, is hard to prove what the actual cost of use is. So, I mean, I can't put a number on it. It's not like batteries. But if you've got something that you're selling, maybe you could, and that's not easy to do. But if you can figure it out, if it's hard to figure out, it's hard to prove that you're wrong. That's a good thing, right? So you could say, you know, the cost of using our product is this, and how could anyone dispute that? If it's hard to figure it out, you can make a statement, and it'd be hard for them to call you a liar. The purchasing end of things, they're focused down towards this end. Purchasing people are more concerned with the price. Specifiers, this is the engineering people, they're more concerned with the technological aspects of it, and the users are in the middle. Often a purchasing person will contact us. They'll contact us, and they're all concerned about price. They don't care anything else. We'd like to get to the users if we can, or the specifiers, because they're less concerned with price. But you can offend these guys up here if you say, okay, you're just a purchasing agent. You know, who are the guys in the factory? You know, well, this guy, what do you mean I'm only the purchasing? You know, so you got to be very careful when you try to get back and penetrate into the account to get people that are going to be users and specifiers. I found that if you can send them in a sample, if you send them in a technical sample, a purchasing person is not going to know what to do with it. So he's going to have to get it to either a user or a specifier, and then you can ask him. Say, can you tell me, we sent that sample in, did you receive it? And a purchasing guy said, yeah, we did. And did you move it on to someone else in the organization? Yes. Can you tell me who that is? Because we forgot to include this, this, and that, or we want to give them some operating instructions or whatever. And then you start getting names that way, which can be a good thing.